tree.
The word of God.
Died to save man.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe. With the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
God bless you. Turn your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I just want to look at verse 27 as our launching scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. Recorded are these words. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. My brothers and sisters, this word comes from a woman by the name of Hannah, who was barren, and yet she desired of the Lord to have a child, and she was very specific about what she wanted and desired from the Lord. And she had lived and experienced the state of barrenness and all of the things that came with that, that signified that she was cursed because she could not produce a child for her husband. But yet, when we look at the story more closely, more intensely, we see that there is a greater desire here for this woman to bring forth a child. It wasn't just to say that she was a mother. It wasn't just to say she had a child, but it was rather far more intimate than that. And I want us to look at the word as we look back at verse 9, and we'll see how this story begins to unfold here in the 9th verse. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And to be honest with you, you need to back all the way up to verse 2, where it starts telling you about this man having two wives, and it goes on through the story. And so needless to say, that was a competitive spirit in the house. One could, one couldn't. And yet the one that couldn't was the one that he loved the most. And so all of that is in the text, but I want to get to Hannah's story more expressly. And look at what it says in verse 9 again. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. What does this mean? He watched her mouth. He looked at her mouth moving, but didn't hear any words coming out. Verse 13 says, now Hannah, she spake in her heart.
which means very simply that she was praying to the Lord, moving her lips, but the sound was not coming out, but God understood the words being spoken in her heart. See, there are times when you're in a place where you pray and you're moving your lips, but sound is not coming out. But how many of you know God hears what's going on in your heart? And so here the Bible says, again, verse 14, let me finish verse 13. It says, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Verse 14 says, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Now, I love this because Eli challenges her because he's the man of God. She rushed into the temple. She didn't even see him sitting in the seat by the post. And he's observing those who come in the temple and watching them and their action and their movements. And he looks at her and he noticed that she's praying supposedly, but because there is no sound, not even silent sound, in a low voice where he could at least hear the words coming out, he thinks that she's just drunk and just moving her lips. But now as he challenges her, she makes it clear, no, 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 you got this wrong. I'm not drunk. I've not had no wine. I ain't had no Jack Daniels, no Cavassier, no none of that other stuff. She said, listen, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. You don't understand. My soul is hurting. And there are some things, my brothers and sisters, and I want you to hear this, that even in the house of God, sometimes you can pray, but you don't want other folk to know what you're saying. This woman had a personal issue that she kept private before her and the Lord. This business was business between her and the Lord. Everybody don't have to know what you're telling God. And so when she sees in her heart that God is hearing her, but the man of God is mistaking her, she's making clear that she is so hurt underneath the skin, so sorrowful in her soul, that what she's saying, sometimes it gets you so wrenched up and tight that voice does not even match with the movement of your lip. The voice doesn't even leave the essence of your mouth, but yet God knows the prayer that's being prayed in your heart. Look again at what the word says, because the Bible says, verse 16, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, which is the devil. It says, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, listen at the word, abundance of her complaint and grief. In other words, this ain't something that just happened yesterday. Out of the abundance of her complaint and her grief, she's crying out to the Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. And she's speaking now out of something that's really deep on the inside of her. Look at what the word says. Have I spoken hitherto? Verse 17 says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. He don't know what she asked God for. Listen at this now. That's why nobody can speak for you like you. He mistook what the woman was and was doing. And when she straightened it out, listen to this. The Bible says the Spirit bears witness to the truth. When she spoke, it was clear to him she wasn't drunk. When she spoke, it was clear to him that she was sorrowful deep underneath the skin, and existing was a pain so deep that the Spirit of God caused him to have a divine understanding of. Now, he did not know what the complaint was, but what he did know was this woman was quite sincere about what she was telling God. And listen to this. She didn't broadcast it so everybody would know. She told the Lord about it. All right. And she told the Lord about it in such a way that when the man of God confronted her and she told him how deeply pained she was, God spoke upon his heart to confirm the fact that whatever you told the Lord, he said yes. And I got news for you. God knows how to confirm some stuff for you by people who don't even know what you're praying for. God knows how to tell somebody, tell him I heard his prayer. Tell her I heard her prayer. I don't even know what you've been praying about, darling, but I want you to know the Lord said it's well, you're going to have what you say. And listen at this, because I want you to see this word. The Bible says, again, verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace. Now, she didn't come in peace until she had laid down her burdens and got a confirmation from the man of God that God had not only heard her prayer, but he was answering her prayer. Now, she leaves in peace knowing that it is, well, this is a thing of faith, my brothers and sisters. It makes no sense to pray to God if you don't believe he's going to answer your prayer. It doesn't make sense for you to call on his name if you don't believe he's going to answer you. It doesn't make sense for you to articulate your complaints and your situations, your soul's desires, if you don't believe the God that you're articulating these things to will do anything about it. But this woman went to the temple believing, as she talked with God, that God would hear her. And he confirmed it before she left out of there. And now she goes in peace, the word says, and the God of Israel would grant to her the petition that she asked him of. Verse 18 says, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. When you got peace, how many of you know you can eat? Listen, she wasn't just fasting. The woman was sick. She couldn't eat nothing, didn't have an appetite, didn't have a desire to eat. All that had left her because her problem had gotten to her and had intensified so deeply that it was now at the point where God had to do something about that, or she didn't know how she would handle life from this point on. She goes with such a great desire for God to answer her prayer that God hears her and answers her, gives her confirmation, so much so that she knows that now she's going to have the petition she has asked. The man of God don't know what it is, but God does. And she knows that God knows, and she knows that God has heard. And so now she's happy. So now she got to get her strength up because she's got work to do. Y'all ain't catching this. I'll read on. I'll let you see. The Bible says, listen again, and she got up and she went her way and she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She felt like a new woman. Her husband saw her and he saw he had a different wife. The expressions on her face were different because she was a different woman from the confirmation of God's word. Look at what verse 19 says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Lord, that's sharp news right there. Let me read it again because some of y'all don't know what just happened. It just went right over your head. And they rose up in the morning. How? Lord, when you got good news like that, you can't sleep late. But they prioritized things now. Look at what they did first. They got up early in the morning, and the first thing they did was what?
Worshiped.
Listen at this. Worshiped. And then they returned. Oh, my God. They were shouting in the spirit. What a mighty God we serve. Yeah. The trip home was short, because they were shouting, giving glory to God. But look here. The Bible says, and when it came to their house, to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah. What, didn't he know her before? Yeah, but he knew her differently this time. Y'all don't hear me here. And so the record is, listen at this, when they came together as husband and wife, The Lord was there in the midst, and the Bible says he remembered her. See, isn't it good for you to be able to know that what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. And when God brings you together and you enjoy what God has gifted you to enjoy, and you know God is right there and he remembers your prayer. Isn't it a good thing to know that God is in control in every situation? And so the Bible says, and he remembered her. Can I say to you, my brothers and sisters, that God is faithful? Verse 20 says, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son. Look, verse 19, he knows that verse 20, she bears a son. God don't mess around. Listen at this. And called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. His name was Samuel because she had asked him of the Lord. Another translation says, God gave him to her because she asked. Look at this word, verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice of his vow. Verse 22 says, but Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Now remember, now this woman remembers just like the Lord remembered her. She remembered what she vowed unto the Lord. Matter of fact, one of the wisest men who ever lived, Solomon, say, it's better that you not vow a vow to the Lord than to make a vow and not pay it. See, God would rather you not say you're going to do something and then don't do it. Matter of fact, listen, you are disobedient when you don't do it in the first place. But now you add a curse to your disobedience when you vow to do something to the Lord or give to the Lord or share or show or experience for the Lord, and then you change your mind on it. You see, there are some things about this prayer I don't have time in this service to go into that will reveal the state of this woman's plight. And I can throw this out to you parenthetically, that it was a desperate state. And the problem with a desperate state is you usually make promises in a desperate state that you are really not able to fulfill when you come out of that place. Sometimes, depending on how far down you are, you'll say some things to just get up out of that situation. But once you get out of that situation and you recognize, I said it in a fit of desperation, but I do not have the power to keep it, or you no longer have the desire to keep it because you're in another place, God frowns on that. Listen, God never expects you to do more than you can do. And so in this woman's state of being desperate, she wanted a child. But listen at this. She promised the Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Well, my question to her is, why do you ask for him if you're going to give him back? Was it just to say I had a child? No, it went much deeper than that. She had a relationship with God. Though she wanted to be a mother, though she wanted to bear a child, this one she wanted to bear and give to God as a gift, first of all, for answering her prayer and making her the mother she desired to be. And listen at this. She wanted to rear him to the part where he was weaned from her. Some writers say it was around about the age of 12 years old. And it doesn't mean just of being weaned off the breast. And that kind, it means showing him the way and preparing him until he was able to know right from wrong. She had the time to teach him, to grow him, to groom him, so that when she gave him to the Lord, she would have had around 11 or 12 years with him and would have sown into him all of the things that would have given him a course and direction for the rest of his life. So when you look at this, don't think that she had the baby 1 year and gave him up the next year. She kept him for about 11 to 12 years until he was fully weaned, until he had reached, in the Jewish history, at the age of 12, they have what's called a bar mitzvah. That's where a boy comes into his own and in the knowledge. And so it's at that point where he again is given certain rights. And so it was at that time, they suggest, that this was the time she gave him back to the Lord. Yes. Now look again what the word says, because I want you to see this. The Bible says again, verse 22, but Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Verse 23 says, and Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Verse 24 says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, lowercase L, which means she was talking to the man, not God himself. As thy soul liveth, my lowercase L, Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Now, this shows that it wasn't just the next year. This showed that time had passed on, and she wanted to remind the priest, do you remember the woman that was praying that you thought was drunk? And you told me I would have, in essence, what God told me. I want you to know I'm her. And listen at this. The Bible makes clear, and as she said this, verse 26 says again, and she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Now, verse 27 reveals where we started, and this is what I want to say, and we're closing. She says, for this child I prayed. Three things I want to say about these few words that this woman just said. First thing is that she was specific. She said, for this. She was specific. Here was the child right now in the presence of the man. When she had prayed to God, there was no child. Her faith believed God. She believed God. God spoke to the man of God. He confirmed it. Now, years later, she stands before the priest and God with the child. And she says, for this child, I prayed. Specific. She understood, my brothers and sisters, how when you go to God, you ought to be specific about what you want. Notice she said in her prayer, I want a man child. That was a boy. She was specific. She didn't say, Lord, give me a child, when she knew she wanted a boy. She said, give me a man child. I want a boy, Lord. Why? Because the Lord knew, according to his own word, that the male that opened the womb was a blessed womb. She would be an even more blessed woman if the first child was a male child. So she said, I waited this long, I want a boy first. She was specific about that. She knew the law. She understood the principles and the blessings connected with it. So when she prayed, you know, when you ask somebody, what you want? Well, I don't care what it is. I just wanted to be healthy. Well, that's fine. If that's what you want, that's good. Not a problem. But if you really know you want a girl, or if you really know you want a boy, be honest and real. Don't be playing and fake jaking. Just say, listen, I really want a boy. I want a girl because my husband's ugly and I want him to look like me. Just be real. You know, I want a boy. Whatever it is. And she was specific. Notice again, let's look at what she says. She says again, for this child I prayed. This was specific, but child was special. This wasn't no any child. This woman had waited a long time, and she was specific about what she wanted. And this was a special child because this was a requested child of the Lord. This was a child that came in God's timing. This was a child that came because of God's favor. This was a child that was going to be dedicated back to the Lord. This child was given to her knowing that God was going to get this child back. This was a special child. So in this short prayer, for this child I prayed. It was specific. It was special. But something else was clear. When she said, I prayed, that represented sacrifice. So this child was sacrificial because her sacrifice was to have him and to release him. Amen. To have him and then sacrifice giving him up. She prayed for this child. She made clear that this child would have a Nazarite vow. No razor would touch his head. His hair would not be ever cut as a vow unto the Lord, as a gift unto the Lord, because he was sacrificed unto the Lord. And he would belong to the Lord from that day to the end of his life. Listen, his life would be a life of sacrificial service. Why? Because he was special. Why? Because she specifically prayed for him. Amen. And it is because of that right and because of that reason that she released that boy to the Lord. What a special child he was. And he served Eli, the priest, as well. Because one of the ways you serve God is by serving his people. Uh-huh. And you can't talk about I'm serving the Lord and don't serve the people of God. And so one of the reasons why this even blessed the man of God and he didn't know was he was the one God confirmed that this child would be and would become. And so when the woman came back to the temple, she released him to the care of priest Eli. Mm-hmm. And the record is clear in the second chapter that he served Eli as he served the Lord. And may I say to you, my brother, my sister, may I say to you, some young mother or some mother, young woman that desires to be a mother, when you pray, can I tell you that you need to be specific?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
K-A-Y-T, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick's. Thank you.
God bless you in greetings and that all-powerful blessing and healing name of Jesus Christ. Well, this is your friend and your apostle of prayer, Apostle James Broadnax. You know, I have been praying and helping God's people for over 36 years now, and I have seen Jesus.